Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to the motherfucking Bloody Knuckles Show, baby. You know who it is. Your boy Ryan and Andrew coming to you live. I am coming to you live from the City of Champions. Proud to be representing the Seminoles. Looking forward to the game tomorrow. Tonight, we will be talking good old-fashioned, hard-knuckle, get your hands on the ground, get at that quarterback, football, college football, and NFL. This is the Bloody Knuckle Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter. Real quick, I want to say, no, we are not talking about football, but I cannot wait for the Manchester Derby tomorrow, Manchester United versus Manchester City, Pep versus Mourinho, Ibrahimovic trying to go for the scoring title. Yep, but we're talking about a different kind of football today, folks. Good old NFL fantasy. And, of course, we are going to talk about what a crazy weekend we had in for the next weekend of college football. And we will preview kind of this shitty kind of letdown weekend. So without further ado, I have with me the prodigy like Freddie Adu. He is the man, the myth, the legend, the king of Rochester. People still call him Percy Love, waiting on his album to drop here in Tallahassee. T-Pain's been looking for him. He's not anywhere around. He is the man that told Fabricio we're doomed. One day you could be champion. He is the man that told Vitor Belfort to drink those smoothies. He is the man who told Conor McGregor, fuck Dana White, fuck press conferences, you can make movies. He is the man that told Scarface, grab that Uzi. He is the man, the myth, the legend, like I said, Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? Friday night, very excited about that.
Yes,
but
sir, I just paid all my bills.
Bachelor,
I'm so happy.
Matter season specialer, though, we have the opening weekend of the NFL and college football.
It's
finally back. You know, especially getting rid of that terrible baseball schedule. I mean, Ryan, this is so exciting, you know, about the NFL, fantasy, college, even though there's not a lot of great games on. That there's a UFC heavyweight event that no one cares about on, and, you know,
yeah,
the heavyweight belt. And, Ryan, we're finally seeing, and this is all I'm going to say about it. We just got
Andrew, we didn't even put that in our show script. We didn't put
rip on CM Punk. I mean, how hilarious.
We do very little preparation, but I even forgot about UFC. But as much
crazy.
I do not care about this event.
I mean, pretty crazy, Ryan. To make matters even funner, you know, Dana White, I got to say, this CM Punk experiment, Ryan, real quick, it's got to be an utter failure. You know, he's been in the UFC 3 years, what now? Still hasn't fought. The time
he's not a real
fighter. To fight, he's lost all his teams. Who cares? It's kind of a laughing stock.
Yeah, that
and,
whole
you know,
WWE feud is over now. No one even really remembers CM
Punk's
Punk.
Like 52 now, and you know what's funny, Ryan? You know, this is a event, or this is a fight that no one's going to tune in to watch this. I
it's
mean,
between
you
two
have to look at the highlights. And, Ryan, Dana, one thing I want to say, it's like Dana trying to take, you know, a page out of Scott Coker's book and, you know, have that freak show fight. But it's fucking terrible. It's just like
and
on a scale from 1 to 10, how bad is this, you know, and how much of a joke is this?
Andrew,
with CM Punk?
It's a 10. I'm going to go ahead and be that guy. I know. I'm not Skip Bayless, but
no,
this
is
a
10,
10 in my opinion, because not only is CM Punk really irrelevant, as in Skip Bayless is now irrelevant with his wannabe show on Fox Sports. Max Kellerman's killing him in his new spot. But, you know, CM Punk, the one thing about this fight, like when Brock Lesnar came over, we saw a future for Brock Lesnar. Like he had a potential, maybe this guy can get the belt one day, you know. Even Kimbo Slice, it was like, where is this ride going to take us? CM Punk, there is no future in it. It took him 3 years to get one fight, and the guy is an amateur. The guy he is fighting is an amateur. So on a UFC live
fight?
No, I mean, the guy's 2-0, but he pretty much was seen as an amateur by Dana White, and that's why he brought him in, because he thought he was a good opponent. It's Mickey Gall. He had a decent performance in his UFC debut. He's a nobody. He got brought in because he sucks, and yet he still probably is going to finish CM Punk. Literally, this is the lowest class. You know, James Toney was at least a professional boxing champion, and you had him fighting Randy Couture. So that was boxing versus MMA, the storyline. I've never seen two low-class fighters to this extent ever in UFC history,
like,
and that includes every preliminary fight.
Wait, Ryan, is this – I don't even know if this fight's a prelim or is this –
No, this fight is main card. They're trying to sell this pay-per-view off of this fight. And this shows how boring Stipe is as a champion because it's in Cleveland. Of course, the crowd's going to be pumped, but I'm a big Overeem fan, and I still can't even get that pumped up. I guess I'm not as big of an Overeem fan anymore, but I still can't even get that pumped up because Stipe is such a boring character. It's just a boring event. I don't even want to spend that much time on it, honestly.
Just a side note, that's kind of funny. Cleveland finally gets the UFC to come. And the co-main event is fucking CM Punk. That's just
the worst thing that happened to the UFC was, you know, Cleveland finally had a champion, and it was Stipe Miocic, and then the Cavs won the title, and it took thing away from the UFC was the first champion. No, SportsCenter did not say that. They said the Cavs broke the curse, not Stipe. That was what. That really took a lot out of the UFC's sales because when, like, you know, as in not sales, but sales, like both.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're trying to be one of the biggest sports in the world and SportsCenter doesn't acknowledge that your champion was the first to break the curse, it really kind of hurts the brand. And if it was a Mike Tyson type character, I'm sure it would have gotten a lot more attention.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I mean, I'm sure LeBron James will be there. You know, Cleveland, the city's getting hyped. They have a little reality show, you know, Cleveland Hustle. It's very boring, just like Stipe Miocic. But, I mean, it's just going to be boring, Andrew. I'm going to say CM Punk's going to lose and Overeem will win the title. And I think that's the extent we want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Unless you want to predict real quick.
One last thing I had to add, you know, it's not even like CM Punk is a huge wrestler name. And also, just how funny is it you hear the name Stipe Miocic, you think like, oh, damn, this is going to be like a crazy foreign dude, Fedor type, and you just get like just an average white dude.
Yeah,
just an average white dude.
I mean, he's a freak athlete, but he's just so boring. Like, the heavyweight division needs somebody with some personality. Boxing has guys with personality to get in the heavyweight division. He really needs to find maybe Anthony Rumble Johnson moving up to heavyweight with that knockout power.
But, Ryan, you're already doing it with the time.
Yeah, let's not waste too much time, Andrew. Are we starting with college football tonight?
Yeah, let's start with a little CFB, Ryan. And real quick, I just had to add, I want to get your take on this. Because I was wondering, you know, if it was right or wrong. I think we need a little bit more information, you know, and some more details. But, Ryan, so Florida State's playing Charleston Southern. Blowout. But,
Charleston,
you know,
Southern
seems
a lot of trouble.
Right, there's a little, you know, panic going on 247, Knowles Warchamp board. Shout out 247 Knowles. Love it. Best site for recruiting and sports and whatever, that's a free promo. I love that site. I'm on it all day. But, Ryan, so 32 players are suspended for the game. Now, an FCS team, Ryan, can only have 63 scholarships as opposed to the 85. Now, Ryan, these players were suspended for spending their, you know, they got money for books at the bookstore. Apparently, they claimed they bought their books, there was leftover money, and they bought pencil and binders and electronics. And they weren't allowed to do that. The money was only to be allowed to use for books. So they've been fined and they have to sit out a game. Now, Ryan, me and you both know pencils and binders are not very expensive. You know,
no.
Just like $10 for the year's supplies. So I do feel like, you know, we need to see more. Did they even buy, you know, their books? Do they really buy their books? What electronics do they buy? You know, how much did they spend? What did they spend?
Why does the NCAA care if these guys are passing? Like,
and
if
they bought it at the bookstore, right? They spent some money at the bookstore. Is this right or wrong? Should they have to sit out a game?
I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is how much I don't care about this topic because I don't care about Charleston Southern. But I think it's wrong. First off, these guys deserve a chance to play against Florida State. They've probably been circling this game. Like, if you're a freshman, you've been circling this date probably for a long time. I know they probably got blown out by some other big teams. But this is at number 3 team, I believe, in the country. Like, and a lot of people think maybe the number 1 team. And this is your chance to show out. Even potentially you might be ruining some guy's future who's trying to get in the NFL. There's been a ton of great athletes coming from 1AA.
And that's the game that scouts are going to watch. You know what I mean? When they're looking at a player's film.
Yeah, and it's just, to me, it's like another NCAA just being bullshit. To me, the NCAA is right up there with Roger Goodell as the biggest criminals in sports, and Dana White a little bit, just as the biggest criminals in sports right now. They're just so off and on with their penalties. And if Charleston Southern is getting in trouble for this, what is Alabama doing? I mean, what is NCAA doing? You know, I feel like they go after certain programs just to get their quota, and certain programs they leave alone. And I think it's bullshit. But, Andrew, let's move on to the college football weekend. Do you want to go ahead and touch on last week a little bit and our playoff rankings and all that before we touch on this week?
Yeah, because week 2 will go extremely quick, and honestly, we probably shouldn't spend that much time on
Andrew,
it.
We got to start with let's not get crazy because we have a time limit, but it is our team. Florida State, honestly, capped off the week with just one of the better games just because of the comeback, the redshirt freshman throwing 400 yards, Chad Kelly and Ole Miss proving that they are an SEC contender. It was a true heavyweight battle, but FSU proved how good they are in that second half. I mean, there was a point in that game where I turned the game off. I was so depressed. Ole Miss was taking it to Florida State. And Florida State, once again, and I would love to have the tally of the amount of points Florida State has come back in the last 3 years in certain games, like the amount altogether. But Florida State proves that they are the cardiac kids, and they can always come back, and they're always into games. Andrew, how impressed were you with Florida State's performance? What did you take out of it? And do you think Florida State is the most talented team in the country right now?
This is tough.
Let's say talented as in this year, not recruits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. So, number one, what I took away, first of all, Florida State is a college football playoff team. Florida State does, you know, if DeAndre Francois.
The schedule's tough. That's the only thing I'm going to say. That's the one downfall of Florida State right now.
But you have to think, you know, if we get some help and some other teams that we beat are, you know, better this year than what they should be. Like, say we beat a Florida.
Louisville's for
real.
They're
going to be pretty good. Louisville's offense, we're going to have to score to win that game. But Florida
State,
be,
I think, one of the toughest games of the year.
When they're clicking on all cylinders, this team is as talented, as good as any team in the country. Now, I am going to want to see DeAndre Francois, you know, do it a couple more times before I'm ready to crown him the next Winston. Because honestly, I mean, Hugh Freeze and their defensive coordinator, that was some of those. I mean, he made some great third down conversions, third and 15 deep, great throws. DeAndre Francois is very smart. Knows where to go with the football. He's a tough, gutsy kid. But, you know, I've never seen a team just sit back like that. And I know they had youngsters in their secondary, and they were afraid to get burned deep.
They're afraid of Dalvin.
They're afraid of Dalvin. Yes. And Ryan, that's going to be the biggest thing this year. You know, if you want to go put 8-9 people in the plot box, and DeAndre Francois had a passer QB passing rating of 121, QBR 121, when he was blitzed under pressure. So if you're going to load up the box and go after Dalvin, you need to be very careful, because DeAndre Francois does have the ability to pick you apart. Ryan, this game, we were down 28-6. Me and Ryan were texting each other, and we were losing it. We were having a meltdown.
Getting beat down, Dalvin Cook fumbling on the three.
I've never seen anything like it.
It was one of the sloppiest halves of football in a long time.
Down, yeah, over 10 penalties over 100 yards. But then who would have thought, Ryan, we're really about to end that game on a 39-6 run and score 33 unanswered points.
Not a lot of
teams
can do that to Ole Miss.
Not a lot of teams can do that on
a 39-6 run.
Not a lot of teams in general. First of all, the strength to not cave in and let it walk away. You know what I mean? Not to curl up and accept defeat. It was pretty amazing.
And that's what impressed me the most about Francois.
Yeah, I mean, he was gritty. He was a leader. He did not give up.
He was like a
senior
out there.
One of the things that, you know, we saw when the jitters calmed down with the team, it was pretty amazing. You know, once they got comfortable, used to playing, and, you know, not making those dumb mistakes, because we were making dumb mistakes. Once we settled down, we got it rolling. But quick finish, we are as talented as any team in the country. I think the big three, you know, teams with the most talent, Florida State by far. I got to put Alabama in there, and I have to put Ohio State in there too. Ohio State dropped 77. I know it was against no one, but, like, they have explosive players around the football, and JT Barrett.
Ohio State, big week in my rankings. Big week. That's all I'm
going
to say.
But going on, I have to say, Florida State really like their chances here now. The team is loaded on secondary. You know, if they can't get ahead of themselves, you know, I really like our chances against Clemson and Doe, especially how they looked against Auburn. But we can beat anyone. We're as talented as anyone. This team is special, Ryan. I saw a team that refused to lose. And, dude, do we score on every possession almost in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much. And think about if we
had nine straight scoring drives.
Think about if Florida State didn't settle for field goals and scored on those possessions. How much of a blowout?
This is his first game, but Ryan, question I got to ask you: how dumb was Hugh Freeze when you look at some of the stuff? You know, and I'm not taking any credit away from us, but you know, Hugh Freeze second half made no adjustments and you're only up 15. How bad is Hugh Freeze as far as staying in that prevent defense, not trying to change anything? Your defense is gassed and you still try and stay in your, you know, your no huddle hurry up offense, and the time of possession turned out to be 42 minutes to 17 minutes. And, you know, the defensive coordinator, and also with Chad Kelly under pressure. When you see Ryan, he was a completely different quarterback when he was getting blitzed. He went from looking like the best QB in the nation to which
Andrew, I will say this for Hugh Freeze defense real quick. Just defending him a little bit, not a lot of coaches can make you know, he got completely outcoached in the second half by Jimbo Fisher. Don't let me say that for yourself. And not a lot of coaches can go head-to-toe with the Jimbos. You know, we've seen Hugh Freeze beat Nick Saban now, but the Urban Meyers, I think, you know, Saban really has the coaches around him more than anything. But when it comes to, like, in-game, really Ole Miss, I mean, what they did in the first half, if I was coaching that team, I might not have changed a lot. And the fact is, what's so scary about Florida State, if Hugh Freeze doesn't, you know, play kind of that soft, you know, defense where he put it all on DeAndre Francois and still kind of blitz and let his cornerback stay back. If he doesn't do that, at any second, Dalvin Cook can bust out a big run. And we saw the explosiveness a lot. And, you know, Dalvin didn't even have a great game, but I think he still had like 161 all-purpose yards or 191.
Yeah, he had 100 receiving yards and like 91 rushing yards.
Yeah, I mean, to me, just proving he's the best running back in the nation, but showing that, you know, basically it's so hard to play against a team with such an elite talent in Dalvin Cook and then to add that we now have a quarterback, I think that that really scrambled Hugh Freeze a lot. Kelly, I think he had a hell of a game, but it was just too much. I think that Florida State defense, you're not going to face a lot of other teams, especially in the SEC this year with a defense like Florida State. I know that they kind of sucked in the first half, but we saw when the adjustments were made how good that defense can be. But it's been like that forever now. The one thing I'm worried about Florida State is the defense can just have those games. The offensive line, of course. But the defense can have those games where they just kind of, some reason, don't show up. And then they show up later and they kind of, you know, don't show up one possession. And then, yeah, there's so much talent. There's no reason Florida State can't win. Real quick, head into the state.
Always going to have 4.5 sacks in
the second half. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, just so much shit bounced Florida State's way. I don't know if I can really, you know, hate on Hugh Freeze because so much, it was just a tidal wave of stuff bouncing Florida State's way. It wasn't luck. It was just talent coming out to play. But in the state of Alabama, we got to see both national champions play. I know Alabama didn't play in their state, but Alabama absolutely dominated. And Clemson was able to squeak out a victory. We don't know what Auburn is yet, but still, Clemson didn't look that impressive. And to me, it might, because Ohio State looked so good, I'm not sure now if I have Clemson in my playoff picture because I don't know if I don't know if Ohio State's going to lose a game this year just because of their schedule.
Yeah.
And that's, and with the Houston victory, but we'll touch on that. But basically, the state of Alabama, two heavyweight matchups, and was able to squeak out a victory. And Alabama with the freshman, a couple freshman QBs, just killed a really USC team that proved once again they hired the wrong guy and they're just not a good team. Always overhyped, always coming in with great guys in skill position, but a team that never puts it together. Andrew, out of the two national title teams from last year, what do you think about their performances real quick? And really, what do you think Alabama's feeling is this year? Do you see anybody in the SEC catching them?
I'm going to real quick say no. The SEC is horrendous. Only team I feel like that has a shot is Ole Miss with Chad Kelly. The spread offense, especially running up-tempo, the only thing that you're afraid about that game as an Ole Miss fan is you can't really run the ball. And when even though they did run it all right against us, I don't know why they completely went away from it, but – when Chad Kelly gets pressured, he is a different quarterback. He seems to, you know, make some poor mistakes when he's getting pressured, not be as crisp. So it's going to be very interesting to see. But other than Ole Miss, Ryan, I really don't see many other teams beating him. Let's face it, the biggest story, SEC did not look good. And I feel like they have two marquee games this week that's really going to determine, you know, all right, how bad is the SEC? Two teams that squeak by. I feel like the SEC really needs to win. But, Ryan, I was more impressed with Alabama. Their defense is amazing, but that offense sucks. And if they say it's a very good defense, I mean, the freshman quarterback, he did do pretty good, but, I mean.
When Alabama faces somebody with an offense, they might be in trouble.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, because I don't know if that Alabama game, I mean, the 52 points they put up, USC folded. They got punched in the mouth too many times. They got beaten to submission.
And they didn't respond. They got punched in the mouth and they cowered to the corner.
They curled up. Exactly. And then so.
And if there was ever a time you were going to catch Alabama, that could have been the game. You know, if there was a team with a pair of balls.
They were up
3-0, and Alabama had 50 yards and multiple turnovers in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And they really could have. Yeah, they could have pulled on the switch. And I think if it was Texas, Houston, we saw both those teams get big victories. Even Ole Miss in that game, it maybe could have been a very bad night for Alabama. But once again, Alabama just seems to have a deal with the devil, and they always get the right opponent at the right time. Unless, you know, one time a year they might get upset, but it just seems like it always falls in Alabama's lap. Andrea,
before, you know, that you asked me, I didn't get it. So, but to finish it off, my Alabama talk, the one thing that they do have going for them is they do have one of the best defenses in the country, if not the best. So that defense is going to take them, you know, a hell of a way. But if there's an offense that can score and whatnot and, you know, puts up 20 to 30 points, you know, with a good defense as well to go along with it, will they be able to answer? And I don't know. I think, Ryan, there's a lot of unknown with all these teams. A lot of teams had question marks, and then Clemson. I'm going to go out on a – I don't think I'm going out on a limb right here, but Auburn is not very good, Ryan. I mean,
no,
if that team had a halfway decent quarterback, they had, like, four possessions in the red zone to end the game, and I think they only got 7 points, maybe 10. It was amazing. I have never seen anything like that. And then they finally cut it. And, you know, Clemson, Deshaun Watson goes on a great drive. I'm not sure how great Auburn's, you know, defense is, but, you know, Clemson's offense wasn't that impressed with it. I mean, first game jitters, you can call it, you know, but there were a lot of up and downs. I feel like the only throw, you know, and this is I'm a little worried about, but Deshaun Watson to Mike Williams, the back shoulder fade, that's, you know, that was about the only play they had all night, and it worked very well. But, you know, Clemson almost Clemson the game at the very end of the game.
Yeah.
Dabo Swinney trying to run the ball fourth and sixth gets stopped. Auburn runs down the field, Ryan. They throw a Hail Mary, and they have a shot at the end. There's two wide Auburn wide receivers in the back of the end zone. One Clemson defender. Clemson defender makes a hell of a play, jumps up, bats away the ball. But I was not impressed with Clemson. You know, that honestly, out of all the teams, Clemson, you know, I don't know if they drank their Kool-Aid a little bit too much, but that team did not look as explosive as the same team last year. So Alabama scares me, but as of now, I'm really liking Florida State's chances against Clemson.
Yeah, me too. I think Clemson is really depending on Deshaun a little bit too much this year. He's a talented guy, but he can't, like, when you're playing a team like Florida State, you can't depend on that one play the whole game to pretty much bail you out when you need a victory. I just don't know if Clemson overall is a team a lot of people are thinking of. I think preseason a lot of teams just look at Deshaun and they look at the receivers coming back and they say, oh, this is going to be another big year for Clemson. And don't forget, there was a lot of years Tosh Boyd had that same hype, and Clemson just failed. You know, 10 wins and stuff like that.
That might be a little bit better than Tosh Boyd.
Don't get me wrong, but there's been a lot of years that we've seen this Clemson scenario come out. I think this is a better Clemson. Well, I don't know if it's a better overall because of the receivers Clemson used to have and stuff like that. Clemson just has a lot of problems on defense, a lot of problems all over, and I don't think the greatest coaching – you know, core there, in my opinion. I think they just have a lot of problems. But the thing is, they might have it all together by the time they play Florida State. Andrew, let's go ahead and jump to our playoff predictions. We did see LSU just completely fail. I think they are a top three talented team. You were bringing up your top three talented team. I think LSU has the talent, but for some reason, every year they cannot do it. And we all know... Yeah, what is Les Miles doing? Why can he?
Hello, Ryan. Well, folks, it appears I may have just lost Ryan. I will keep it going until I hear back from him. But yes, as Ryan was saying, with LSU, it was very embarrassing. You know, to come out and lose that game to Wisconsin is almost unacceptable. Really can't afford to have that happen. So you can definitely feel, you know, the heat from Les Miles' seat from Louisiana all the way up in Rochester, New York. College football playoffs, I have to say, judging my top overall teams. Number one, I have to put Alabama there. I definitely have to be there. They won 52-6, and it was a massacre. It was a beatdown. Number two, I'm going to have to say, was this team has a lot of talent. With JT Barrett, they're young. But but we will see what happens. And number four, I'm going to leave Clemson in there. I do feel like a one-loss Clemson team, the Florida State, might make it in over an undefeated Houston team. Because when you think about it, Houston will only have two wins, with Louisville and Oklahoma. But there's a lot left to be talked about. Ohio State, Oklahoma, week three, and Oklahoma get back on track. And also, last game I have to touch on, great game Sunday night. I'm sorry, Ryan. They came back. We'll see what happens. If we get cut off, those are my playoff teams. Interesting. Dude, I really want Virginia Tech to win that game. And then Arkansas against TCU. Did you see how Arkansas won? Fourth and goal, end of the game, miracle touchdown. That's how they beat a nobody team. And, honestly, TCU, their defense, I don't know what's up with their defense. They used to be so good, but then they gave up, 41 points to, Sand something. It wasn't even a good Sand. It wasn't San Jose State. It was a worse team. It was they did not look good. But those are big games. And you know what other game's pretty good that I'm excited about? Ryan. Hello? Hello? Yo, Ryan, I think your phone did it again, bro. I can't hear you. Ryan.